Hello, this is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today we have Mike Sirianni, assistant coach for the Wichita State baseball team. Shockers recently wrapped up fall practices, and they will look forward to the spring starting back in February, into January, early February. The Shockers, 31-23 last season, 18-13 in the American Athletic Conference. It was the coaching staff's third fall. So, Mike, the first fall, everything was new. Everybody was new to the coaching staff. Last fall was all the intricacies of COVID. This fall, a little closer to normal. How did things go? How was it different this fall than maybe the previous two?
Well, it was great in the fact that we could use our locker room and get our kids in our clubhouse and spend time together. One of the more important things that we've started to do is try to get our kids to have some meals together, and ultimately we ran into a couple issues with that, and so we kind of limited the meals together and whatnot, but a lot more functional for our kids to be together and spend time together in that clubhouse throughout this fall. So that was definitely a bonus for us this year.
Yeah, one of the odd scenes from last fall would be you would go to practice and all the gear would be out in the entryway to the stadium because they weren't in the locker room very much at all. So I'm sure there's a lot of benefits. Were you able to move more quickly this year, get to things quickly, do less kind of introductory stuff because it's your third year?
Yeah, it was a lot better, you know, and having some guys that have returned a lot of experience and a lot of successful experience. You know, those guys are great allies for us coaches, and they help us in the ways to show guys, new guys, and young kids just kind of how we want things done here at Wichita State. And we've got, you know, some things that we really like to work on and preach on and continue to improve. And so having some leaders that have spent 2 years with us has been crucial for our coaching staff. And, you know, those kids, speaking of some of those older kids and veterans, you know, they can do a lot for a young player, impacting their lives both on and off the field.
Yeah, I was going to mention some of those veterans, Garrett Kosis, Ross Cadena, Jack Segrist. You've got some others who now have been through it with you for several years. So you are seeing them do things like pull aside a newcomer and kind of explain how a drill works or what the coaches are looking for in those situations, that kind of thing?
Yeah, those guys, you know, from a position player standpoint, those Kosis and Cadena have been very impactful for all of our kids. You know, Jack has had a little issue with the shoulder, so he's kind of been a little hit and miss of when he's been able to be out there. When he's out there, he's great, you know, but when you talk about Ross Cadena and Garrett Kosis, you know, you're talking about pro young men both on and off the field, and what they can do for our new players and young players it is amazing. It's fun to watch them because, you know, I give those two a lot of credit because they can do a lot of things for these new players and these young players a lot quicker and more efficiently than I can, you know, because when a player's helping a player, that goes a long way, and they remember when they were young players and there were kids that were helping them. And, you know, just the impact that they can make on these kids' lives and helping them get comfortable here in our program and understand how we want to play and how we want to do things is those guys are great guys for our clubhouse, both on and off the field, too.
It seems like you're saying what a lot of coaches will say is that sometimes it just helps to hear it from a different voice, just from a different perspective.
Yeah, when you can have Cadena and Kosis, you know, there around the cage or playing catch or doing defensive work with new kids or young kids, obviously they've had a lot of success. And so seeing them do it and then hearing it from them how they do it goes a long ways with new players and young kids.
So the last spring would have been this coaching staff's first trip through the American Athletic Conference. What was your impressions of the conference? What kind of baseball is played there? What does it take to succeed in this conference?
There's good players in the league. You know, there's really good players and there's good coaches, great programs. It's a good league. It's a fun league. There's a lot of travel, obviously. You know, when we were going to Florida numerous times and some of those places, you know, we didn't get to see every field. And there's some fields that some kids have talked about that are pretty fun places to play and atmospheres. But very good conference, and it's fun to see, you know, different conferences and different teams and different parts of the country, how they kind of play and where we stack up with them. And it's going to be really interesting to see this year, now our second year, we have a little bit better understanding of how teams play and how certain programs go about it and whatnot. And so, you know, it'll be a good challenge for us again, you know, because now people will have an understanding of how we're trying to play too. So it will be a good challenge for us as well as, you know, our new kids and our older kids going through it again and trying to improve on what we did last year.
So maybe baseball is a little different from some sports because you have a lot of information coming in over the summer. You know, guys they'll play in the spring for Wichita State, then many of them will go off in the summer and play and grow and improve and those kind of things. So then my question is, how much of, you know, all the information you gained from last spring, how much does that then play into here's what we're going to do in the fall? Here's what our plan is. We're going to emphasize, you know, whatever it might be, whether it's bunting or whether it's, you know, defense up the middle. How much of a connection is there between this is what we saw in the spring, this is what we're going to hit hard in the fall?
A lot, you know, a lot of it. We, you know, because Wedgie's never been through a full college season in a long time, and as a head coach, and so he talked about it a lot, of seeing how people play in our league and where we stack up with them. So obviously a lot of adjustments that we talked about throughout the summer, of some things we want to improve on, some things we want to spend more time on. And so a lot of that conversation happened this summer between our coaching staff, and you know, throughout this fall we tried to improve obviously in everything, but there's some things that we spent a little bit more time on as compared to other things. And so it's 100% our coaching staff as well as our players, we're continually trying to learn. You know, we talk to our kids about it all the time. You know, the minute you stop learning, the minute your career's over. And so us as coaches are trying to learn too. And so we have definitely tried to implement some different things and some different types of things and styles of baseball, because you know, you never know what type of ball game you're going to get into. And so we've most definitely tried to improve our program too in our third year.
Yeah, so what was at the top of your mind back on whenever practices start end of August, 1st of September? What were two or three things that you really wanted to hit?
You know, we spent a lot of time on base running. You know, that was something that we spent a lot of time on. We spent a lot of time on, you know, hitting in some positive counts from a position player standpoint. We also spent, you know, a good amount of time on, you know, whether it be a changeup or breaking ball from the pitching side, being able to command that pitch in a hitter's count, you know, when you start talking about being able to combat both sides of the ball. You know, we spent a lot of time on that. Pell spent a lot of time with our pitchers on, you know, throwing a 2-0 breaking ball and things like that, and being able to throw it in for a strike. And then, you know, some of the big things for us have, you know, obviously been able to command the fastball both sides of the plate. And so always trying to improve those things, both offensively and defensively. And then we talk about the pitching side too. So those are some of the things that we spent some good amounts of time on, you know, this year. And obviously the defense is a staple for our program, and so we tried to improve some of those things and continue to work on those things as well.
Okay, so base running, that may be something that people, you know, fans or people like myself outside the program, maybe we don't notice it so much until something goes wrong. How do you go about improving base running? How much of that is an instinct that people have, and how much of it can really be taught and drilled?
That's a great question. We spend a lot of time talking about that as a coaching staff, you know, and we've spent, you know, whether it be 5 or 6 or 7 minutes at the beginning of practice each day trying to really just communicate on a couple different things. Because like you said, it is hard to practice base running, you know, and it's hard to talk about, especially when you can't really put them in the situation that you want them in. And so communicating about some of those things, but then playing our scrimmages and playing our modified scrimmages at the end of practice, trying to really hit on the importance of base running and some of the things that we really want to do, and, you know, stealing bases and taking extra bases and angles and you know, knowing where outfielders are when you start. And so just a lot of those finer details of, like you said, base running that nobody really knows anything or pays attention to, you know, but for us, those small things make big differences.
I think anybody who's watched Shocker baseball the last couple seasons has been thrilled with the pace of play, and that connects directly to defense in my mind. You play generally pretty clean baseball. Defense can, I think everybody loves to hit. Maybe not everybody loves to be out there fielding ground balls. How do you think about it from making it, you know, if not fun, at least attractive, not a boring grind? What's your approach to, you know, defensive drills?
Well, you know, Wedgie talks about it all the time. You know, you can hit, but you're not going to get a chance to go on and play this game for a long time if you can't play defense too. You know, he talks about those guys in, you know, in spring training, you know, in early work in the big leagues. They spend time on their craft, and, you know, they're obviously very, very good at it. And so, you know, those guys understanding what it takes to be really, really good and be a big leaguer is you've got to be good on both sides of the ball. And so understanding how we're going to play, we're going to win with pitching and defense. And if we give them three outs, we got a chance to win every game. If we start giving away four outs, five outs, it makes it really hard to pitch. It makes it really hard to score 10 runs a game. And so understanding what we're about, and obviously the recruiting side of things, is we try to be honest with kids, you know, and tell them we spend time on defense, you know, because it's a priority for us.
Is there a percentage of kids who you can kind of tell they check out at that point, or do, and I guess you don't want those kids anyway, then you're looking for the kid who, when you say we practice defense, they're nodding their head then.
Absolutely, you know, 100%, and we try to get all of our kids to come in on visits, and, you know, with COVID last year, we didn't get to do any of that, so it's kind of odd, but obviously over the phone, throughout our contacts, we're trying to communicate with these kids and these young men and their parents, you know, we're going to work hard in practice. We're going to challenge you guys during practice. We're going to try and make practice harder than a game. And a lot of that time will be spent defensively. And, you know, the kids that shy away from it, great. You know, we'll wish them the best and they can go to somewhere else, you know. But the kids that like it, those are the kids that usually tend to show up here on our campus. And, you know, to that point, we had our official visits this past weekend, and we tried to give them an honest assessment of where we're at as a program and what they're going to get into. And so that's just kind of how we want to run our program, and how, you know, Wedgie thinks it's a very firm, fair, and consistent message to everybody.
There's an interesting blend on this coaching staff with Eric Wedge and Mike Pelfrey, a big pro background, obviously. You came from college coaching, Lauren Hibbs, college background. What have you picked up from the pro guys that has maybe seeped into practice plans and that might be interesting to talk about?
Well, it's awesome. You know, our office is so much fun, you know, with some of the personalities and the looseness. And obviously you've been in our office, Paul, with the open doors. We love to cut it up and we love to laugh. And, you know, I'm more one of the quiet guys, and so I get the opportunity to laugh a lot. And Wedgie talked about it to some of our parents. I mean, I'll start getting church giggles when Wedgie and Pelfrey are cutting it up, you know. And so I think that's one of the fun things we start talking about. Obviously, baseball's baseball. But we talk about, you know, being able to be comfortable in your own skin and taking your job seriously but not taking yourself too seriously. When you start talking about playing in the big leagues and playing the game with three decks, you know, they talk about it a lot, three decks, and then playing professional baseball and then college baseball, the time commitment, I shouldn't say the time commitment, I would say the length of your season is totally different, and the impact as to how much each day and your limited time with the NCAA. So some of those avenues are very interesting to hear both sides of it, you know, and you get 7-8 months of baseball and professional baseball, and here, you know, we're going for 45 days in the fall, and then it's, you know, 4 months or so in the spring. And so hearing those guys be able to be comfortable, you know, in good days, bad days, whereas, you know, so many college kids, you know, they panic a lot when you lose a game or you go 0-for-5 or things like that, whereas in professional baseball you just show up the next day and you get after it. You show up the next day. And so that's, you know, some of the cool things that we've been able to go back and forth on with our coaching staff and try to get our kids to understand, you know, that every day is not the end of the world, you know, but it is important each day, and we show up each day and we just try to get better each day. And so it's a very fun atmosphere, and our kids, we want our kids to come into our office. You know, yesterday, you know, Wedgie was in there holding court with about 6 or 7 guys just telling stories. And I'll tell you, our guys love to hear him speak. Our, you know, even us coaches, myself included, love to hear him speak. You know, he's got so much knowledge and so much experience in professional baseball as well as just baseball. And so when he gets the opportunity to talk to our kids, you know, it's unbelievable the knowledge that he can drop on myself included. And so we feel like it's a very fun atmosphere, and it's a very laid back atmosphere, but we want to get after it. But we also want to, you know, continue to learn from each other, and we talk about that a lot as a coaching staff.
Three decks. I'm not familiar with that baseball phrase. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, you talk about three decks in a stadium.
Okay, big stadium. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
The big stadium, the three decks. You know, Wedgie and Pelfrey, they're the only ones that have been through it, you know, and they talk about it a lot. The third deck got them. You know, they're a guy that goes from AA and he can't make it in the big leagues and things like that. And so those are some of the conversations that Pelfrey and Wedge have with our kids. Like, that third deck's real. So you've got to be able to be comfortable in your own skin and be able to handle the success and the failure.
There will probably be a lot of people hopefully listening to this that hopefully there are a lot of people listening to this that have not been in the baseball office. Explain the sliding doors and how it's set up. That's a little unique.
It's a fun setting. At the beginning, you know, Pelfrey tells it best. He's like, man, I didn't want any part of it, you know, because it's basically one really long office, and you've got Wedge, and then you've got Pelfrey, and then you got myself, and then you have Easton Herring and Nate Briscoe, and then you've got Lauren Hibbs. And, you know, it's funny because they all have open doors, open pocket doors. So it's one big office, but we all kind of have our own little areas. And so Wedge could be in his office talking, and he could be talking to Scooter in his office, and we all hear it. And so it's kind of one big office with our own little areas. And so everybody knows what's going on. So it's fun, and it's, you know, it's no holds bar. You know, it's, we have a good time and we're going to cut it up. And, you know, we like to bust each other's chops too. And so it's a really cool setting, and our kids come in, and we always try to get our recruits and the current players we have to be comfortable and understand that we're in this together. And so when they see us having conversations all in one big group, it's a good setting for our kids to be. And so, you know, it's let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's five offices that all have their own desks, but it's one big office because all the doors are open, if that makes sense.
And my understanding is this was something Eric Wedge was intentional about.
He did it with the Blue Jays. When he was there, when he started talking about it, and he designed it, and he said, this is a must, and we will do this. And like we said, we had no clue what to think. Pelf always jokes around and says, you know, he put Pelfrey close to Wedge so that Wedge could keep hold on Pelfrey. And Pelfrey says, I always try to put a bookshelf in between that door to keep each other apart. So it's, as you can see, it's a good joke. But, yeah, Wedgie definitely wanted it. And at the beginning, we were all skeptical, but it's been great for all of us.
I did not expect to veer into office design and architecture here, but that was something people might enjoy. Okay, if you look at the Shocker baseball roster from the fall, there's about 13 Shockers from Texas, which has been a kind of a slow building change over the years, but boy, we're really seeing it, and it kind of reflects what's going on at the university. We're getting a lot of people from Texas that are, you know, they're just regular students. Why Texas? What are the factors bringing in so many kids from Texas?
Well, we talk about, you know, what we want to do and how we want to play, and you start looking at different areas, you know, but we've spent a lot of time in Oklahoma, a lot of time in Texas, and the reason is, as you look at our scholarship situation and our school situation, and Wichita State University has done a tremendous job of improving the campus, building it, and, you know, making it more of a campus feel, and we tell our recruits that. But with that, you know, the Shocker City and the Shocker Select, there's some tuition things that can happen for kids in the state of Texas and Oklahoma and Colorado and some of these areas across the country that they can get better prices to come to Wichita State. And so you start talking about baseball, we're an equivalency sport, and so we have 11.7 scholarships for this year, 32. In the past it was 27. Next year we still don't even know if it's going to be 32 or 27. And so, you know, the odd thing is, you know, I'll be real honest here, it's more affordable for us to, you know, to give a scholarship to a kid from Texas than a kid from Kansas because the percentage, you know. And so we talk about, say we give a guy books, tuition, and fees, and I do that to a kid in Kansas as compared to a kid in Texas, that percentage, which we start talking about with 11.7, is lower in Texas than it is in Kansas. So it's a weird deal, and when you're trying to maximize the amount of dollars that we have for a baseball program, it makes more sense, if that makes sense. You know, and it's probably confusing to the normal person, but when you're talking about 11.7 scholarships divided by between 32 guys, obviously you're going, Paul, you're on 47%. I'm on 25%. Pelfrey's on 72%. You know, Wedge's on 63%. You've got to start to make, you know, basically a jigsaw puzzle and make it fit to 11-7. And so when you can get a guy in the state of Texas for a so-called 25% as compared to a, you know, a kid in, let's just say, Florida, that would be like a 75% scholarship. Does that make sense? So obviously that's kind of the thing, and it runs all the way up and down Interstate 35 throughout the middle part of the United States. So those guys along Interstate 35, they get a better break, and so it makes a better situation for us too.
Sure, there's just so many people in the state of Texas. I think that's what we know, and from a university standpoint, that's what they're, you know, really interested in that. If you follow Shocker Baseball on Twitter, you see a lot of exit velocity, a lot of videos. Wichita State Baseball Data has its own Twitter account. How does that kind of information help the coaches and then help the players?
Well, I think the kids like it, and the players, you know, they obviously enjoy it a lot. I'm awful at Twitter, and so I don't spend a whole lot of time on it, you know, and Nate and Brendan and Easton, they do a great job with that information. You know, I think it's kind of today's age kid and the fact that they can learn a little bit quicker when you start seeing things visually, and, you know, with the way baseball has gone, it's so analytical, and you watch a game on TV and they talk about the exit velo and then the launch angle. Well, you know, kids aren't stupid, and so they can see, if that's what they're doing in the big leagues, well, why can't we do it here? Well, we can do it here, and so we're giving those guys that information, you know. But I think kind of the object, the percentages say if you hit the ball hard, you're going to have a better chance to get a hit. And so that's just kind of basic stuff, and we're trying to help our kids, you know, and give them the opportunity to show some success as well, you know. And the fall is an odd time. Parents don't get to watch a lot, and so anytime we can show successes of our young men, it's a good situation.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what went on during the fall. One of the positions that jumped to my mind first that I would guess fans will be watching will be shortstop. You have Andrew Stewart back. He was just an excellent defender, really fun to watch. And then Brock Rodden, he's a switch-hitting transfer. He played there a lot in the fall. Appears like he can really hit the ball. Tell us a little bit about that position and how it shook out during the fall.
Well, I think, you know, we try to make it very evident to everyone on our team that you earn what you get, and you write the lineup. We're going to give everybody the same opportunity, you know, and everybody's going to have the same opportunity as anybody else. And Andrew had his thumb situation going on, still returning from a surgery. And so at the beginning, you know, he was kind of limited in what he could do. And, you know, we brought in some kids in the middle of the field that are good players, you know, and everybody's competing for a job. You know, there's not hardly any job that's sealed up right now. Wedgie told him this the other day at the end of the fall. You know, there's not a lot of jobs that are full right now. Everything's up for grabs, and anybody can get it. And ultimately, we continue to work and continue to work throughout this fall period and throughout the Christmas period. But shortstop position, Andrew's a great player. Andrew's a great leader, and he's a great person for our ball club, and the fact that he's going to help our ball club in so many different ways with just how he practices, how he plays, and he improved, you know, offensively, you know, and so, you know, to tell you who's going to start at shortstop, I would be crazy or not being telling you the truth if I told you that right now, because we don't know. But Andrew's a great kid, Brock's a great kid, you know, and they both worked extremely hard. They both played really good defense, and they both finished off the fall very well, both on both sides of the ball. And so it's good to see them both competing, and they're both helping each other, and they're both making each other better, if that makes sense. And so Andrew, you know, like I said, he's a great young man, and he has a chance to help us tremendously. Brock Rodden is a new player, and he's bought in tremendously. He's a great young man, and he's helped our program too. So we just want to continue to move in the right direction and give everybody the same opportunity, and that's what we're going to do. And they're both going to impact our program in positive ways.
We mentioned Garrett Kosis earlier. He's back at first base. He was all-conference last season, led the Shockers with 12 home runs. Despite some injuries, he limited him to 36 games, and he's had some bad injury luck during his career here. But he had a great year. How does he build on that success?
You know, what a great kid, man. And you know, we talked about Ross and Kosas, staples of our program and big-time leaders of our program. Great young man in Garrett Kosas, and we're super glad that he came back. Obviously, he had opportunities to go on and play professionally, and he wanted to finish his degree and take this program to another level. And so I think that's a huge compliment to the kid and to our program. But, you know, he wants to be better, and he wants to give himself more opportunities to move up, you know, whether it be at Wichita State, whether it be playing professional baseball. And so, you know, he obviously is a worker and a learner, and he wants to continue to improve himself. And so he had a good fall, and he's going to help our program tremendously. Hopefully we can just keep him healthy, and I know he wants to stay healthy, you know, because we talked about last year when we lost him for an 8-game stretch, it was tricky for us. He made a big impact, and obviously kudos to that young man. It tells you what type of kid he is. He came back, and he wasn't 100%. He was most definitely not 100%, but he wanted to do it for his teammates and for the program. And so that's the type of kid you're getting with Garrett Kosas. But, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy, and we'll have a lot of faith in the fact that he's going to stay healthy this year.
One of the freshmen that jumped out at me, third base, Xavier Caceria. He made a big impression, hit the ball really well. Tell us a little bit about his background and why he came in so apparently so ready to play.
Well, Xavier Caceria is a great kid and a great family. Super glad to have him. He's a Dallas area kid, Fort Worth kid, and the compliments that the coaches said about him as a young player in high school and in travel ball were the types of things we like to hear. And just, you know, he's a good teammate, he's a good leader and things like that. And so obviously you can see he can hit. He's got great hand-eye coordination, very slow with his load and everything. And so he's kind of one of those guys that just hits because he's very stable. He's in the ground and his head's very still, and he has good hand-eye coordination. And he showed that he could hit. You know, he had the opportunity to go play professional baseball out of high school as well. Super glad that, you know, he's here. And he was ready to go. You know, he's been challenged throughout his high school career, and played some summer ball with some good teams this past summer and faced some good arms. And then he came here and just continued to do his thing. And he's one of those kids that guys like to be around. He's got a good personality. He's a little bit quiet, but as he's gotten comfortable, he's opened up a little bit, and the guys have enjoyed to have him around. And he did a good job this fall, and we're happy about him. And he's going to be a fun guy to watch in the future.
I think people are beginning to be aware of another freshman, Peyton, and I'm worried about his last name.
Tully.
Tully.
Yep.
I had him on the podcast a couple weeks ago, so I had it right then, but now I lost confidence. Peyton Tully played first base, played pitcher, and he looks like he's a big kid. First, I'm always interested in the hitting and the pitching together, because it seems like there are people who come in here thinking they can do it, and then it gets more difficult than maybe they thought. So as coaches, how do you help somebody do both?
Boy, I tell you, when I saw him play years ago, obviously you could see his size. You could see, I mean, he could hit a ball long ways, and he would swing and miss a lot when I saw him as a young player. And saw him on the mound, and pretty clean arm, and spun a breaking ball okay. And you know, at the time, we didn't know what he was going to be. Is he going to be a pitcher? Are you going to be a hitter? You know, and we still don't know what he's going to be best at. But I can tell you, most kids come in and they try and do it, and physicality-wise, it's hard for them to keep up. They start to lose weight, their body breaks down, and things like that happen. But with that young man, obviously, you can see with his size and his strength, he can handle a little bit more than the average freshman. And so he held his own, and I think a big thing for him was he played summer ball with college kids this past summer to give him that preparation to kind of have an idea what to expect. But with that being said, you know, we had to limit his throwing a lot at first base. We had to have days where he couldn't throw. There was days where he didn't always get to hit a lot. There were days, you know, that his bullpens would be shortened. But, man, you can't say enough about him and being able to handle it, you know, because most kids can't handle it. And he stuck his nose in there, and he grinded through it and had a great fall both sides of the ball.
I'll give you the floor. Anybody else who jumped out at you during the fall? Maybe somebody who made great progress, maybe somebody who was a little bit of a surprise?
Well, I think, you know, you talk about Ross Cadena offensively. He had a wonderful fall offensively. And I talk about Ross and Kosas just because they're important guys to our program, as you can probably understand. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that our coaching staff wanted to portray is just the fact that physicality and athleticism, we feel like this is our best team since we've been here. Now, how does that translate with wins and losses? Who knows? You know, we still have a lot of work to do. But you talk about the physicality and the athleticism of our ball club. It's impressive. And, you know, the arms, we have a lot of different guys that have a real bright future on the mound. And so we talk about the physicality, the athleticism, the arm strength. There's a lot of things to work with. And so we have a lot of things to improve, obviously, from a coaching staff standpoint, and a lot of work to do from our coaching staff. But, you know, the buy-in with our kids, the camaraderie with our kids, and the leadership we have with some of our returning players, with the Foster Giffords, the Ryan Stumpfig, and then obviously you talk about Kosas and Kadena. Good group of guys and good leaders for our ball club, and it's going to be a fun year for us to continue to make improvements.
Do you have a World Series pick you want to stake your reputation on?
Oh, man, I wish I knew. It's two little kiddos at home. I don't get a lot of time to watch it, but hopefully it goes to Game 7 for both of the championships on the American League and National League. But it's going to be interesting to see. But I like the Braves. I think that they got a chance to do it, you know, if they stay hot.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.